Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family. And take a breath.
What a day.
Take a breath. What a day of Premier League action. What a day of Barclays that was. And what a day, what a weekend it's been of FPL. Some decent scores knocking about.
Yeah.
This weekend, I've noticed result. Some decent scores knocking about. Loads of like double-digit hauls. Like no one's cracking open the sort of 18, 19s, but lots of 10s, 11s. 12s, you've got Watkins 13s. Chipping in, Gordon's. Who's got the 13?
Trent
getting a 13, yeah, of course. I took some worldy goals in that game as well.
Your game, yeah.
Absolute worldies. I noticed we're a little bit, we're not as focused as we usually would be on this camera, so I'm just going to move this around a little bit and try and put us into focus. Ah, there we go, that's it. That's it. I think it's to do with the light in the background.
But we'll just turn the light down.
We'll turn that down a little bit?
Oh, I've turned it up.
Oh, don't turn it up. Oh my goodness me.
There you go.
There we go. That's a bit better. Yeah, so a breathless day.
Like turned it around a little. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, you're really moving it around now. That'll do.
That's it. Now it's in the middle.
That'll do. A really breathless day of Premier League action, no doubt about it. And the crescendo of which was the game we've just finished watching, City versus Spurs. Fair play to Ange Postecoglou. Going into that game, I have to say, I thought that was going to be home win. I really did think that was going to be home win. So for Spurs to... And it was a topsy-turvy game. Even after like 6 minutes, there's a couple of goals. Haaland's missed a sitter. I thought, this is going to be fun.
I didn't think it was
genuinely
fun.
It was fun. But as a neutral, as a relative neutral, it was quite fun. I don't know what it was like.
Neutral?
That's why I said relative neutral.
You can't say you're a relative neutral.
From your perspective, though, did you enjoy it?
No.
No. Not
a jot. I never enjoy those games. The thing is, you never really know with Spurs and Man City because we do appear to be their bogey team. Like, we are the team that's taken the most points off them in the league under Pep.
Yeah.
And today was just a bit balmy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's like Son scores, immediately goes and scores again in the wrong net.
You keep talking. I'm going to keep moving this camera because we are still out of focus.
Why?
I don't know. It's to do with this, but I don't know why. It's to do with the light behind us.
Turn it down again.
You're turning it off.
No, I'm not turning it off.
Oh, right, okay. There we go. Well, we're going to go with that. We're going to go with
it. You're fussing over nothing.
To be fair, probably for the best that we're not in HD and 4K, to be honest with you.
Why?
Still a little bit off, I think.
What are you talking about? Speak for yourself.
Still good that I'm not in 4K and HD. lots to discuss tonight, guys. Lots to discuss. Welcome to everybody. Welcome to the FPL Family live stream. If this is your first ever FPL Family live stream.
Where have you been?
Welcome. Where have you been for the last 7 years? We've missed you. We've missed you. But there are a whole host of names in the chat, Sam, that are here every single week. So welcome, guys. We'll talk about the game week we've had. We'll talk about the two game weeks that we've got coming up. Because, of course, unless you've been living under a rock, you will know that there is a midweek game week. Game week 15 in FPL starts on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Do not miss that deadline.
6 o'clock.
There is a Tuesday 6 p.m. UK time deadline for game week 15.
Mm.
And then we will go again in on
Saturday.
I was going to say Friday, but no, it's a Saturday deadline for game week 16.
So Friday deadline the week after.
Oh, God. For 17.
Yeah.
Oh, don't even bring 17. I'm not even thinking of 17 right now. But we've got a Tuesday deadline for 15.
Spurs on the
we've got
Friday
a
night.
Saturday, a Saturday deadline for game week 16. And I just notice, can I shock you for a moment? I just need to shock you for a moment.
Hang on a minute.
Just need to shock you for a moment.
But
in a week where there is midweek Premier League action,
right,
guess which team have got the lunchtime kickoff away from home on the Saturday, game week 16. Just take a random stab in the dark. Who do you think might be away lunchtime kickoff on that Saturday after we've all played in midweek? I appreciate it's not an international break, but, you know, similar. Guess who's away from home 12:30? It's only Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah, but
Liverpool again.
Yeah, but
again.
Yeah.
12:30 away from home and not even local.
So
Palace.
Yeah, but
go to Palace. What a difficult game that is.
You're doing a lot of moaning about this. Everyone has to play football in midweek. Everyone has to play at the weekend, you know.
Well, anyway, we got out of jail today. More
you
on that a bit later
You and Palace are
on.
Both playing on Wednesday. It kind of makes sense for you to be the early kickoff.
True.
It wouldn't be fair if it was Spurs when we're Thursday night.
Yeah, okay,
you
fair
know.
Enough.
Come on.
Let's say hello to a few people. Wilco is in. We've got some news about Wilco a bit later on. Congratulations. Spoiler alert, Sam's just told you. But we've got some news about Wilco a bit later on. FPL Shorts is here. Nigel the Crab Sai is here, as usual. Duncan Crawford, all of the patrons are in. Joseph Maloney, we've got Dave. Babani's here. Linford McConney, how are we doing? He's just got Liverpool and then a face palm. I assume that's because it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy, as Robert Smith is saying.
A conspiracy?
That's not my words.
Liverpool fans,
Robert Smith, come on, man. Robert Smith's words in the chat, absolutely right. It is a conspiracy. 12:30 every lunchtime, every lunchtime. We've got, who else? We've got Prince Will is in. We've got Tiggy Taylor, Liam Healy, and we've got Femi Abbas, all sorts of people in this evening. So, guys, welcome. Welcome along to the FPL Family live stream. We'll talk about the games we've just seen in Game Week 14. We'll look ahead to 15 and 16. We'll talk about our teams. And spoiler alert, it's going pretty well. It's going pretty well in FPL for me and you at the minute. You know, I have to say, I don't know how long this is going to last.
Well, we should touch some wood when we say that. I'm touching the wooden table for those of you that are on the podcast and can't hear. Actually, can't see that it's a wooden table there anyway, if you're even watching the stream. It's unusual, isn't it, for both of us to be doing...
It's not unusual for you to be doing well, but it is unusual for us both to be doing
both at the same time. Well, no, this time last year, if you remember, although we were at World Cup this time last year, but I was having a shocker. But
you were,
the pair of us to be both doing as well as we have been
is pretty well so far. We'll talk
about... It's kind of snuck under the radar a little bit for me. Like, I haven't really noticed how well we've both been doing. Do you know what I mean? Like, we both...
You said it now. It's going to be crap from now on, isn't it?
Probably, like red arrow. I kind of been like watching it thinking, yeah, we're doing, you know, doing quite well, solid, okay. And then actually when you look at it, it's like, we're both doing really well.
Listen, a lot of other content creators, it's tough.
Yeah, it's been a tough old season, struggles, right?
But struggles we're both doing all right. We're doing all right. We'll take it, as they say. We'll take it. Stop the count, as they say, I think.
A bit like I was saying after 6 minutes in the Spurs-Man City game.
Yes.
I was like, end it now. I'm having a great FPL week. End it now.
As soon as that sun goal went in, you're like, right, blow the whistle.
End it. Run enough, ref.
127 seconds later, and he scored an OG. That is peak FPL, isn't it? It's peak FPL.
Yeah.
Let's get into some of these games, Sam. Let's talk about... where do you want to start? Do you want to go back to Saturday? Let's talk
about
Saturday.
What even happened on Saturday?
We had Burnley smashing Sheffield United.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I would like to start with that.
Are we going to start with Burnley and Sheffield United?
We are going to start with Burnley versus Sheffield United. We're going to whiz through it quickly. And the reason I want to talk about it is because I want to talk about how disgusting Sheffield United were. What a terrible, terrible performance. Now, that is because I was bitter 10 seconds in with the Charlie Taylor assist,
which I could not believe. We were at
10 seconds.
We were at our kids' school Christmas fair, weren't we, on Saturday afternoon.
Charlie bloody Taylor.
And
come on.
We were actually sort of not, we were getting on the ready to leave, weren't we? And we were just walking towards the exit and I went, oh, Charlie Taylor's got an assist. I've never been so happy in my life. And then Lee was like, oh, run. Then we got out of the school gate and then Saka scored and then you felt a bit better. But I told you Saka scored in a very different way.
I tell you what, I've never had two more different FPL updates from you in my life. Charlie Taylor's got an assist! I was like, all right, fine. Oh, Saka's gone. Saka's scored.
Well, I don't want Saka to score. Ever.
No shit.
What language?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
And this is played for England.
But as Webby's saying in the chat, Charlie Taylor, legend status achieved. Where do you want your statue, Charlie Taylor? Saving many a game week this week. Unbelievable. An assist after 10 seconds. But listen, we're talking.
And the clean sheet sticking.
Talk about Burnley if you want, but I want to talk about Sheffield United and how crap they were. And the reason I want to talk about how crap they were is because it has an impact on our FPL thinking going forward.
You've got Liverpool next, though.
Look at their fixtures going forward. Liverpool, we've got Liverpool assets. Brentford, we've got Mbeumo in our teams. Chelsea, many people with Palmer, etc. Villa, we've all got Villa assets, or some of us still got some Villa assets. And then a big game against Luton. Then it's City and 20. The teams that they have got coming up, I am considering captaining against Sheffield United. If Sheffield United play like that every week, they are going to get absolutely hammered every week by everyone. Did you see the highlights? Have you seen anything of this game? Or do you want me to just keep ranting based on what I saw on Match of the Day?
Well, I don't really think that there's anything to say about Sheffield United other than you should target them.
Lock Salah captain in for midweek now. Do it now. Don't be clever and get Nunes. Go for Salah captain. The one saving grace you could say about Sheffield United, and this is, I'm only going to make a couple of points because we're going to move on. This is not really FPL relevant other than target Sheffield United. But what Ollie McBurnie gives them is an out ball, right? He is a presence up there in the way that Cameron Archer is not, right? So Ollie McBurnie's up there. He holds the ball up. He's shrugging defenders off. He's a strong lad and he takes the pressure off the defence.
Mm.
He's not there now for that Liverpool game.
No, he's not there for two matches because that's his second sending off this season. So it's a two-match ban.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So, okay, so he's not playing against Liverpool and he's not going to be playing against, who is it next? Brentford, right? Yeah, Brentford. The reason that's important is because if he's not there, the ball just keeps coming back and back and back and back. And the defence can't get out. They can't play it out and they won't be able to play it out against Liverpool. They'll end up hoofing it to Archer. Excuse me. It won't stick. Salah is absolutely locked in as captain for me. And did you see the sendings off? See the two yellow cards?
No.
Disgusting. Disgusting. What's he playing at? The first one is a red, but he gets away with it by giving him a yellow. It's a proper elbow in the face.
Is it?
It is a straight red, in my opinion, that first one. But he gets away with it. He gets a yellow. And then minutes later, elbows somebody else. It's like, what are you doing? I know that your job is genuinely to be holding defenders off and winning balls, but stop elbowing people, you muppet. Two yellow cards, gets the red, fully deserved. He's out now for the next two. Lock in Salah for your captain in game week 15 and consider captaining Brian Mbeumo at the weekend.
Are you all right, dear?
Just saying.
That was the biggest...
And I don't want to take anything away from Burnley, right? Burnley, they haven't won a home game all season. They had to win this game. They had to win it.
Well, they were going to win it anyway.
Because if they don't, suddenly it becomes psychological. They've played some difficult home games and the crowd are like, okay, we haven't won at home all season, but we've played some difficult teams. Sheffield United at home, if they'd have lost that one, altogether different story. But they came out full of intent, obviously. 10 seconds in, they get the goal.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to check on your, you know, on you, because so far you've ranted about Liverpool having a 12:30 kickoff, then you've ranted about how bad Sheffield United were. You've ranted about me updating
Sam, it was
you on
a disgrace.
FPL.
It was a Sheffield United were a disgrace. They shouldn't be in this league. It was disgusting. And they are the worst team in this league by miles. By miles. And target them for your captaincies in FPL. Anyway, that's enough about that. Get the captaincy on Sam. Newcastle 1, Manchester United 0. Let's talk about this. The form team in the Premier League, Manchester United... digging out 1-0s here and there, getting the, you know, winning games and being in a pretty decent position in the league. Well outplayed here. Well outplayed. What was your take on the game?
Well, I mean, I think that was a bit of a kind intro to them anyway. So on paper, yes, they were the form team in the league, but they haven't looked like the form team in the league.
No, they've been getting results, haven't they?
They've just been getting results, even when they've been playing badly. Newcastle were head and shoulders above Manchester United in this game. Head and shoulders. There wasn't even really a competition. Rashford, it is baffling to me what's up with him at the moment, because he goes away with England and he looks good.
Yeah.
He comes back to Manchester United and all right, I know that he got the penalty last week, but he was gifted the penalty from Bruno last week. I thought he was poor again in this game.
I think you're being generous saying poor. I tell you what, and I've said it a million times with Rashford, every time I see it, and a lot of my Man United mates that I know well that speak openly about him would agree with this. If he was a foreign player, he'd be binned by now. He'd be out that club. But because he's Rashford and because he's English and he's a talisman and all the rest of it, I don't know. It's like, is he protected
that
a little bit? I don't
know.
Well,
maybe. I get that.
He's
but
dreadful.
But then he goes away with England and he's not. He's like a different player when he's away on international.
I don't care, Sam. If you're getting paid £90,000 a week or whatever he's paid, you put
that
a shift in. That was shocking at the weekend.
Well,
Anthony Gordon was man of the match. And I'm not saying it was a bad performance. We can talk about him in a second. But oh my God, was he allowed? And same as Tino Livramento. Again, good game. I was impressed. I'm going to say something. Some Bale-like qualities from Tino Livramento over the weekend. I was very, very impressed with Tino.
But
he is a player.
He was a baller.
He is a player.
But Livramento was a baller when he was at Southampton. He was just playing at Southampton.
Sorry, Saints fans. But yeah, true.
But you take my point. Like, you put him in a really good team, and Newcastle are a really good team, and they're well-managed.
They were allowed
and
to play on that side.
I know they were allowed to play. Yes, I know that. But they are a really good team, and it is because they are a really good team that they are able to exploit that. So what we've seen in the last couple of weeks is that Manchester United haven't had somebody who's been able to exploit those weaknesses, and that's why they've been able to win games by one goal here or what have you. They've not been getting done. If they come up against teams like Manchester, like Newcastle United, who play and play well, this happens. And they were lucky that it finished at the scoreline that it did.
Yeah, they were absolutely. Having said that, the one that comes off of Maguire's stomach right at the death for potential 1-1 was
they
a bit like,
it, yeah.
I tell you, that was squeaky bum time for Newcastle there. Yeah. No shock to see that actually United were at their best when Martial and Rashford got hooked, right? And they should have been hooked before that, but it took Ten Hag that long to do it. Anyway, enough about them, because I don't think any of us are going anywhere near them in FPL. Let's have a look at the fixtures. Chelsea at home next, Bournemouth at home, Liverpool away, West Ham, Villa. I mean, they don't look too bad, but just not. I'm just not. Are you?
No, I think because, I mean, certainly don't think you are with the attacking assets. I think, you know, the likes of Bruno and Rashford, they're just, they're expensive assets that aren't performing well at all. So, no, I'm not interested in them. Defensively, Luke Shaw is always of interest to me. It always piques my interest. But if he's playing at centre-back, I'm less interested. Because he's not going to get as much attacking threat there. Plus, the clean sheets for me, I know that they have three before this one. But over the next few weeks, I don't think there's many clean sheets in there for Manchester United. And therefore, when there's a load of really cheap budget defenders that you can have,
miles better.
Including one or two that were playing for Newcastle.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's go there next. Right. So I bought in Lascelles this week as part of a 2-3 transfer move to get Darwin as well. More on how that worked out later on. But the Lascelles half of that transfer worked. I got the six. I was pretty pleased with that. Cash. So cash for Lascelles, so pretty happy with that.
Very pleased with that.
But some things worthy of note. Trippier continues to absolutely smash it.
12 again, right?
Joint second for chances created, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area this week, with 6 chances created. Only Alvarez could do better than that this week. And that's joint with Martin Ødegaard from Arsenal. So absolutely all over it. He's going to take the set pieces. He's going to tick over the bonus points. They're going to get clean sheets. He is super expensive. There are cheaper routes into that defence, though. And Lascelles is there. And now, unfortunately, we saw Nick Pope go off with what looked like a dislocated shoulder, an injury that we think he's done before. I'm pretty sure I heard that he's done that before. Mm. So, I don't know. We need to wait and see on the diagnosis. But it doesn't feel as if that's going to be back within, you know, a couple of weeks or whatever. That feels a bit long term. And, you know, far be it from me to jump on, you know, or how can we profit from a player's injury? Because I don't like doing that at all. But Martin Dubravka is coming in at 3.9 in FPL. You can have him as your second goalkeeper now. I looked at the rotation with Areola. And again, Areola. I mean, how do you say this guy? Mavrapanos, or however you say it for West Ham. He won't want to see that goal too many times. You can't blame Areola too much for that goal today. It's on the Greek guy. It's on Mavrapanos. But again, West Ham find a way to concede. And I think having him, Areola, and Dubravka for the next, it's something like 10 or 12 weeks, they rotate pretty nicely.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, you know, if you're happy with the way your defence is looking, if you've got players in that you know, you're pleased with, you've got, maybe you went for the double up. And I know, again, with Arsenal, the clean sheet didn't stick unless you had Tomiyasu, who it did stick for because he'd gone off.
Mm.
But if you doubled up there and maybe you've already got a Trent in your team, or you've got a Tsimikas in your team, and you're happy with the way, maybe you've got a Trippier or a Lascelles or whatever. I don't think it's a bad thing to necessarily double up. I think what we've seen at Liverpool this weekend, I think we see with, well, maybe not so much with Wolves, because actually when Bentley came on, he did keep a clean sheet and he managed to get 8 because he made some saves and got a bonus point as well. But we've got there with Kelleher and Dubravka and Bentley is we've got 3.9 million goalkeepers, who, I mean, certainly with Jose Sarr, maybe we'll have to wait and see on how bad that is. He might be back sooner. But with Kelleher and with Dubravka, at least for the next
few weeks,
they are going to be sure starters. Now, for the Liverpool, defensively, they sort of went a bit to pot today without Alisson there. But Dubravka is a tried and trusted Premier League goalkeeper who, quite frankly, will have been annoyed that he's not been starting over the last year or so.
Probably,
and this is a nice opportunity for him now to kind of get a few starts under his belt.
Yeah. He's got to prove something, isn't he? Because exactly. Pope's not really done anything. You wouldn't say he's put a foot wrong, really, would you? No. So it's now Dubravka's chance, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And I don't see Loris Karius coming in, right? I
mean, be Dubravka.
I think it'll be Dubravka. Just before we move on, Sam, a super chat from Nigel the Crab. Hi, how are you doing, mate? Nice to see you. Hello there, Bonfields, he says. Hello, mate. Christmas in 3 weeks. Have you got anything? I've got you one thing. Right. I've got you one thing.
So I sent Lee a list of things I wanted. Gosh. And I always said, because he moans and complains, because last year my Christmas present wasn't the best thing you've ever bought.
We are so... Guys, we've been married how many years? We are so past the whole kind of like, oh, surprise, I got you a really nice... This is like, we tell each other what we want, don't we? We just go get it. So here's a link to something.
Yeah, but last year you went rogue and it didn't go particularly well.
No, move on from that.
So this year I sent a list.
Yeah.
A shared Google, shared note on our phones. Yeah. And I was like, here's a list of things I wanted.
So I ordered this thing off of Amazon. We got back today. Was it today or yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
We got back from out the shops yesterday. And there it is, sitting. Amazon have delivered it. It's sitting there on the doorstep. Not in an Amazon box, in its original packaging. So you now know at least one of the presents that you've got for Christmas. So yes, Simon, the answer is I have got Sam something, but she knows what it is because Amazon are Muppets. 800 additional points would be nice. Listen, a few more game weeks to go, mate, before you get to that. By the way, triple captain Salah surely is on next game week. Oh, I don't know about that, mate. There's a triple on Haaland coming up in a couple of weeks, isn't there, for the double, whenever that is. And what is your Crimbo schedule for streaming? Oh, I've got no idea, mate. No idea. We'll figure it out as we go along, as we usually do here on FPL Family, as you know. Going back, Sam, to the Dubravka piece, though, are you tempted by him? You haven't got any Newcastle defence right now, so you've got to be having an eye on Dubravka, right?
I've definitely got an eye on investment in Newcastle defensively, because obviously I had Botman for a while and then I got rid of him when he got injured. And since he's been out, I had Burn for a little bit, then he got injured.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my problem. Like, maybe it's almost to get one, they get injured. So I am definitely looking for a route into Newcastle, because actually that was the biggest impact on my rank this weekend.
The Newcastle clean sheet.
When the Newcastle clean sheet stuck, that was the biggest knock that my rank took. Even more than not captaining Haaland this week.
Trippier's got some ownership, isn't he? And
I'll tell
you what.
Trippier's got some ownership. Lascelles is not, I mean, he's not hugely owned, but he's not badly owned. You've got Shaw in there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
They've all got this kind of, those two have got low level ownership, but them alongside Trippier, it's not.
We got away with one as well as Trippier non-owns. I'm telling you, I know he's got the highest BPS across the whole game week with 46, joint with Ødegaard across the whole game week. But that free kick that hits the underside of the bar,
and
I tell you what, Onana's like watching it.
He's watching it, yeah.
That is proper haul territory then for Trippier. Totally. I mean, his owners will be delighted with a double-digit haul, but if that goes in as well, it's absolute dreamland. It's dreamland. So Newcastle 1, Manchester United 0. Not in any way thinking of selling my Newcastle players.
Eyes on Eddie Howe's press conference, though, with the yellow flag on Anthony Gordon.
Yes, and maybe a small hip problem.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right.
Mm.
I don't think it's anything majorly serious, but we've definitely got to keep an eye on that ahead of the midweek fixtures.
Looks good, doesn't he, Gordon?
It's just every week.
He's got a goal in every home game.
I know.
Unbelievably good consistency. So good.
But it's not so just good. That, is it? It's the budget. He's so cheap. Yeah. He's such a nice budget enabler. He's still not very highly owned either.
No.
So when he does something,
ranks take a
really nice rank rise. The fixtures look good. Like, there's nothing not to like about Anthony Gordon apart from the yellow flag. So hopefully that yellow flag, by the time the deadline rolls around, has disappeared. Because, well, I'm not getting rid of him for a long time.
He looks great, doesn't he? He looks great. And just a final word on him was that, remember watching the Amazon documentary, the Newcastle Amazon documentary? Remember that? And they spend a lot of time, they dedicate at least an episode and a half to the pursuit of signing Anthony Gordon from Everton, and how important that was for the club, how much Eddie Howe wanted him, how much they saw potential in him, where he fit into the system. And I remember, I'm not saying that swayed my decision to get him in FPL this season, but whenever he does return and whenever I get a nice green arrow on the back of a goal from Anthony Gordon, I do kind of cast my mind back to that documentary and think, yeah, they really wanted this kid for a reason, and Eddie Howe's worked his magic on him. He's really, really good. He's great form.
And
I think,
with the amount of injuries that Newcastle have, it makes him all the more important to them.
Absolutely. All right, let's go. We will go back to some of the other games on Saturday, but I want to jump to Sunday. I want to jump to Man City 3, Spurs 3 then. What a game. It feels like every City game at the moment is full of entertainment. What did you make of the game? It was topsy-turvy, wasn't it? No doubt about it.
It was chaos. But then games between Man City and Spurs always are. They never really go the way that you think they're going to. Like, for some reason, we are the team that's taken the most points off of Pep in the league. It is weird to me that that is the case, but we seem to be a bit of an Achilles heel to them, because I don't think they like it when teams... Well, it's weird, isn't it? Because normally we go and we try and play ball. because that's how we want to be.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't work out for us so much defensively. But weirdly, with our two sets of... with our two right backs and our two left backs on the pitch, we've somehow come out with a draw.
But I think in the last few weeks, we've seen that, haven't we? We've seen teams like the Chelsea, for example. They had a go against Man City and they got a result. All right, it was chaotic. Same ditto for Spurs today.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't say we sat back and let them have their own way either. No, and we got a point.
And right? I think that's the thing, isn't it? The big learning point here is that, you know, with the teams that are built to attack and that will go to Man City and kind of go, all right, well, look, we're going to play our football and see what happens. You can get something out of it. There was a mass movement this week to sell Son, and I honestly couldn't really understand it because his record at the Etihad is ridiculously good.
Everyone wanted Saka, didn't they? That was the reason.
And I get that. I want Saka as well, but I wasn't prepared to sacrifice Son for it because the way that we play and the way that I thought Man City would let us play would benefit Son. And defensively, they will let him get in behind. And Kulusevski, I think he scored in every game he's played at the Etihad now.
I think that's right.
I think every time he's been to the Etihad, he has scored. And there's also with a back-to-back set of worldies in the last two game weeks. Like, yes, I know that he's not Maddison, but he's helping the creativity. We were massively helped by having Basuma back today alongside in the middle.
God, he made a difference.
Basuma, because that was the big problem last week, is that we were without, not only were we without Van de Ven and Romero and Maddison, but we were also without Basuma because he'd picked up that yellow card. And not having him there was difficult. Whereas this week, he's there. He's so commanding in the middle. It's so important. Going into Wednesday, we've got Romero back from his suspension. Praise be.
Oh, he's back, is he, Romero?
So he'll be back for the West Ham game.
Interesting.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
He's back. So that will help. But yeah, I was actually quite impressed with the way that Spurs played. From a Man City perspective, however, I don't know how they've not won this game. I don't know how Haaland has missed as many opportunities. As a non-Haaland captainer, I watched that game. And to be honest, the fact that he's come away with that, top for XG underachievers, I think, this game week, Haaland.
Yes.
And only with two assists. I count myself incredibly lucky that that's the case. There was the one that I don't know how he's missed it. He's put it wide. Yeah. I have no
idea. In
the
first half.
Yeah, no idea how that's not gone in. There were so many Haaland opportunities. It just wasn't his game today. Which is a ridiculous comment when he got two assists. But from a goal-scoring perspective, it just wasn't his day today. But I count myself really, really lucky that that was the case. I also count myself really lucky that Grealish apparently was offside, even though when he wasn't.
What was going on?
I don't know. Let's just.
We can't just gloss over that. What was that about?
Well, I don't know. And so I don't know what to say about it because it's just another one of those things, isn't it? I'll send Simon Hooper a Christmas card, I guess.
Is this the same ref that didn't give the Diaz goal in our game?
Yeah. But that wasn't his fault, to be fair. It wasn't his fault he didn't give the goal in the DS game. He was told it was offside by VAR.
How that... But seriously, like...
I know.
You make a mistake like that in the big Sunday game. That game, Liverpool-Spurs, was the big Sunday
Saturday
game.
Saturday night.
The big Saturday night game. You made a massive, massive error. How then, 4 or 5 weeks later, whatever it's been, how then can you ref the big Sunday night game against Man City and Spurs? And listen, I'm doing him a disservice because actually...
He had a good game,
I thought he reffed the game quite well up until that point. But again, it is a clanger. It's a clanger.
Mm.
Like if Haaland... So Haaland's fouled. You either blow there and then it's a foul. You don't
foul.
Then play advantage. And then when you see that advantage is about to culminate in a one-on-one Grealish through on goal. And I'm not saying he's going to score, but it's Grealish through one-on-one. It's a chance to win the game. And then you blow the whistle and the flag isn't even up. And it's rightly not up because he's onside. So just a disaster. It's just a disaster. Anyway, after all of that...
The other thing to say about Man City is that Rodri and Grealish both suspended now for the Villa game.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
And when Man City were at their worst, that period where they weren't winning games, that was when they were without Rodri.
And they've got to go to Villa, haven't they?
They have.
Difficult place to go. Without Rodri, without Grealish against his old club.
Wednesday night. Difficult.
Interesting one. Yeah, interesting one. I happen to disagree with you a little bit. I know you're saying, you know, you're a bit lucky and City should have won or whatever. No, I think Spurs fully I think were worthy of the draw. The fact that, you know, you continue to play with this style, you know you're going to be open, you know you're going to concede chances, and it's like, we don't care, we're just going to keep going and we're going to keep playing and we know we're going to get chances. Son took his goal brilliantly, absolutely brilliantly. Giovanni Lo Celso has come in after being out for however many months, and he's scored two worldies in two games. And
could have scored three worldies.
And been the difference maker in two games. He's been electric, right? At a time when you need a player like that to come in and be really, really good, because you've had Maddison in that position being really good. Yeah. He's gone, all right, oh God, who have we got? Giovanni, okay, we don't know, because he's been injured for ages. He's come in, he's done great. He's done really, really good. Bissouma's back, all good. Having a look at the fixtures going forward... obviously, it's the Wolves game up next for Spurs. Oh, no, the West Ham game for Spurs.
Yeah, midweek. I'm going to that game. So I know you were
Okay.
Yeah, remember? I'm not here.
Oh, yes, I do remember saying it.
So I know you were saying about locking in Salah captaincy, but I really fancy Sun against Areola and co.
Don't mind it. Yeah, don't mind it. Then Newcastle, I'm Forest, Everton, Brighton, Bournemouth. I mean...
The fixtures are about to swing for Spurs again. Yeah. So all those people that sold Sun, so, and that's part of the reason I didn't want to go Sun to Saka this week, was because one, Sun's record against Man City
fancy
is good.
For this run, don't you?
And now I'm looking at the fixtures that Spurs have, and we're out of that period where it was awful. Mm. And we're into this period now where I can see goals and points again, and we're starting to get our players back again, praise be. So I'm at a point now where I'm looking at other avenues, and maybe this is a nice segue into talking about Aston Villa, because... I think Diaby will probably be the one that I sacrifice now in order to have Saka in my team.
Yeah, let's segue over to Villa in just a second then. But super chats, a couple of super chats. One from Ken's Bromsgrove. Thanks, Ken's. Evening, guys. Hope yous are well. We are, mate. Thank you very much. Hope you are too. Rodri got a yellow and now he and Grealish... okay, so yeah, it's exactly what you said, Sam. So he and Grealish missing out on Villa away. So he's got Watkins written with the eyes open emoji. Yeah, for all those that sold Watkins this week, and I know that many FPL managers
very, very close.
Sell Watkins this week. Another Mr. Consistency, isn't he? Another 11-pointer. And also, what on earth was the ref doing at the end? Yeah, we've had that discussion, mate. Absolutely crazy. And another super chat from Joseph Maloney. Thank you, Joseph. Hi, Bombfields. Hello, mate. 62 points. Very nice indeed. What an FPL weekend. Plenty of quality goals and drama. How Haaland didn't get better returns today is unreal.
I know. You're
absolutely true, mate. Absolutely true. Having said that, the first assist, wasn't sure at first whether it brushed his head, but he got the slightest of glances on
the
it before
touch, yeah.
The Son own goal, didn't he? But it was that big chance, wasn't it? A high XG chance just after that, a couple of minutes after that, if I remember rightly. And you were right,
Doku
Sam.
Haaland.
Correct. Yeah, correct. He was top for XG underachievers this week, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area, with 0.77. Same as a certain other player. I don't know if you've heard of this guy, Sam. Mo Salah, also XG underachiever.
Oh, my
Capitan. 0.77. We'll talk about him in a bit as well. Another super chat, a member chat. Thank you from Duncan Crawford. Evening, Bonfield. Hello,
hi,
mate.
Duncan.
Great weekend of football. Cracking goals. I think it's a general theme, right?
It was
a
really
brilliant,
good weekend.
Brilliant weekend.
Yeah, it was a really good weekend.
Grey arrow for me. Done Diaby to Saka already. Watkins as a Darwin replacement? Question mark. So the question that everybody was asking
last
week.
We're reversing the question.
do I sell Watkins for Darwin? And many did.
Yeah.
Many did. Duncan's asking whether we should reverse that. Well, let's use that.
I came
that.
So close to doing this, and because going into, like, let's talk about Aston Villa. Because
go on,
let's
segue to Villa. Go on.
Going into this weekend, I was waiting on news on Jarrod Bowen and knew I probably wouldn't get it, and I was waiting on news on Ollie Watkins and thought I probably wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
So it was going to come down to a choice between what I did, and between it was either sell Bowen for Mbeumo because I needed him, or sell Diaby. So one of those was going to happen. And in the end, I was like, there's enough doubt about Bowen. Plus it's Spurs in midweek. I think I'll sell him and I'll keep Diaby for this one because it was a nice fixture against Bournemouth. I did worry slightly he might be benched because he hauled him at half-time in the Spurs game.
Diaby?
Yes.
Because
he hauled him at half-time in the Spurs game last weekend and played him in midweek. And I did worry that might end up with a benching. I played him anyway because I preferred him to my bench options this week. And thank goodness I did because he obviously came on and got the assist, which is good. But I do think that the last couple of games in the league, his spot doesn't seem quite as certain anymore. And so for him...
It's because Bailey's playing well.
Because Bailey's
playing
well and he got the goal today, I think, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Another one.
So it's difficult with Diaby now. And I think the decision to go for Saka is what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
I need to find 0.3, but that's relatively easy to find by just selling Matt Cash, who, quite frankly, is dead to me anyway after last week.
Could you get a bit of money out of your keeper, Lou Dubravka?
Potentially, but I can just go Matt Cash to Lascelles or Livramento or, you know, something like that. So there's options for getting the money. It's not really hard to get Saka. But with Ollie Watkins, we went out for lunch on Saturday, and the whole time we were walking around, because it wasn't a lunchtime kickoff, we were walking around the winter shopping, didn't we? And I was going, oh, I don't know whether to... Like, I had two free transfers, and it was the second one was burning a hole in my pocket, and I really wanted to do Watkins to Darwin, and I was really hoping for a bit of firm news that said Watkins is out. Because had that come, I'd have done it.
You do the move, yeah.
We were walking into the pub that we went to for lunch, and it's got terrible signal in there for some reason. So I was like struggling with my signal anyway. And then I was worried because the last time I made a last minute transfer, it was for Alvarez in, and that went badly that week. And then Lee said to me, when Watkins starts the weekend, you're going to be annoyed you don't have him. And I thought, yeah, I will for that Bournemouth game. Mm. I can leave this a week. I don't have to do it now. I can do it ahead in the midweek. And I'm so glad I decided not to do it, because yet again, Watkins proving that regardless of the fixture, regardless of how well Villa are or aren't playing, he's going to get the opportunities and he's going to take them. He's their main man. And
I still think he's the second best forward in FPL. And for the second best forward in FPL, if there's a chance he plays against a Bournemouth side who, all right, they've improved recently, but they're still down
but
there.
But they're not keeping clean sheets.
Yeah, really. I mean, I know Villa got difficult fixtures. That's City next. It's getting more difficult, isn't it? But for Villa at Bournemouth, I was just saying, if there's any chance that Watkins plays, I probably want him.
Yeah.
And though he was flagged, and I had Diaby as well, I first benched Diaby, played Watkins, and I felt pretty good about that. Mm. But, and again, I know he got the rest in midweek, and there was the yellow flag, and it's the late fitness test and all that sort of stuff. But even the comments by the manager were just like, well, yeah, he felt a little bit, so we just thought we'd rest him this week. I'm like, okay, great. That means he's in better shape for the weekend.
So I think that's what worried me more, though, is that you had Diaby to come off your bench had Watkins not made it.
Mm.
Whereas I had Cash and Archer. And I was like, I don't fancy either of them two. I didn't think Cash would start. I think he's lost his spot. I think defensively they look better without him.
Yeah.
And I don't think he fits in that midfield four, as we saw against Spurs last weekend. So I didn't really want him around.
Straight sell now, Cash?
Yeah. And I should have done
probably
it.
Is.
I should have done it last weekend. Because so the other transfer that I very nearly made last weekend was to go Cash to Zinchenko. But I didn't do it for budget reasons, because I wanted to make sure money moved around how I wanted it to moving forwards.
Yeah.
Now, at one point on Saturday, I thought I've made a horrible decision here, because obviously Zinchenko, with the attacking returns and Arsenal keeping a clean sheet. Now, when the Arsenal clean sheet went, I was like, okay, it's not as bad.
Quite so bad.
And I'd bench Cash anyway, so it's fine. But for me this week, I'm going to use my two free transfers. He'll be my cash cow for making Diaby Saka.
Okay, so where would you move Cash to? You going to LaSalle?
Maybe LaSalle, yeah, probably.
Okay.
I don't know. Haven't really thought about it yet.
Would you have enough? I don't think it's a downgrade. I think it'd be about the same sort of money. But could you go for a Porro?
So that was my other original plan, was to look at going up from, I think it's up, from Pedro to Pedro Porro.
I was going to say, you're not saving any money by going Cash to Porro, are you? No,
and
no,
because
no.
I've now decided, but because I've decided that my priority is Saka, then it's just who fits in that budget for Cash.
Okay. All right, so Watkins for sure a hold. And the one thing just to be aware of, in case you're not, which I'm sure most of you will be, is that Aston Villa's fixture in that tricky-looking game week 18 blank that's coming up for City and Brentford is really, really good. It's Sheffield United at home, probably the best fixture you could have. Now, you do have to endure City at home, Arsenal at home, but let's face it, Villa play their best football at home City without Rodri, without Grealish and a few others. For sure, Villa can give them issues there, right? And then Arsenal at home, that's going to be a competitive game. Brentford away and then Sheffield United at home. I mean, I'm looking at... So I sold Cash this week. No problem with that. I think you're right about him and his spot. No, I'm not going to be selling Watkins ahead of City at home now. I'm going to be keeping him.
But I will only have Watkins. I'll go from three Villa down to one.
Yeah, that's the question mark I've got, is over Diaby, really.
I just think you've got Saka.
I have. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have any thoughts about... Because you don't have Son. So, and I think this is where a lot of managers are, aren't they? They're making the choice between Saka and Son. I'm going to make my teams that I've got both.
Yeah.
Of them, and it's only doable because of the defensive cheap options. So when all these cheap options dry up, it's going to be a massive issue to me. But if you were to sell Diaby, because I think you'd probably struggle to get to some budget. Or how much have you got in your bank?
No, I've got nothing in my bank now because my front three is Haaland and Watkins and Nunes,
and
isn't it?
Darwin, yeah.
So Darwin is almost kind of now blocking that move to Son because of the money I had in the bank. So if I wanted to go Diaby to Son, yeah, I'd have to find significant... I'd have to take either Watkins or Darwin down to... yeah, back down to an Archer or something like that, which I'm not prepared to do, I don't think, going into this game week.
No.
The alternative is I ignore Son, which I don't really want to do, and I take Diaby to like a Cole Palmer or somebody like that, right? That's a possibility. But anyway, we'll have some more early...
Brennan Johnson could do well against West Ham, excuse me.
Bless you. We'll have some early thoughts on transfers a bit later on. Bournemouth, for their part, a quick word on them. I don't know what their fixtures look like. I haven't really looked at them. Palace, Man United, Luton. Oh, it doesn't look too bad, to be fair. Is Solanke maybe on in your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, he was unlucky last week as well, wasn't he?
Have a good goal. See the goal today.
Yeah, I saw his goal. It
was nice spin and a hit.
Nice,
good, right?
Nice goal. And was unlucky last week not to return. So I think if you've got Solanke, then he's a hold. If you don't, if you're looking for a third forward and you don't want to go as high budget-wise as a Darwin, then absolutely. Solanke looks like an okay option.
All right. Well, if you don't want to go as high as a Darwin, talk to me about why you wouldn't want to go as high as a Darwin. Liverpool 4, Fulham 3. Not a game that was on TV here in the UK, unfortunately. So I've only seen the highlights that you can get on YouTube, like the 2-minute highlights. So I can't really give too much of analysis of this game other than the bits that I was reading on Twitter. Thoughts? All the goals were proper worldies from Liverpool, from what I understood.
Yeah, and I must admit, as a Salah captainer, you've scored 4 goals, he's got 1 assist. I can't help but feel...
Well, how do Darwin owners feel, particularly those that sold Watkins for him? 4 goals and no involvement.
But that's the thing, isn't it?
All that we got from Darwin today was a decent haircut.
Oh, I don't
know. If you can call it decent. It
doesn't look decent. It looks terrible.
What's he playing at?
Honestly. I mean, I love the man, but what is that? I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, as a Tsimikas and Salah owner and a Salah captainer, the fact that they both got assists in the last, like, 5 minutes of the game, great. I'm pleased that we've got some returns because I did think I was heading towards a captaincy blank. And a captaincy blank against Fulham. Just,
at home,
just, yeah. Because that's every game he's returned so far this season at home, isn't it? Now,
probably,
Salah,
yeah.
A bit like Anthony Gordon, but it's just every game, either a goal or an assist. But I can't help...
That's still only one blank he's got all season, Salah. Two. He's only blanked against Luton, as far as I'm concerned. Luton's the only game in which he's not got any returns.
Because I think that there might have been a fixture previously against Spurs. I think it was in North London.
Forget that.
Way back in game week 3.
Definitely got an assist.
Or something
there.
Like that.
Definitely got an assist. More stats from that game. So, Luis Diaz owners, consider yourself very unlucky.
In week 7, I lied.
Joint top for shots with Trossard this week with 5. So 5 shots from Luis Diaz. And where else did I see it? Oh, yeah, of course, as we mentioned before, Mo Salah, joint top with Haaland for XG underachievers. So need to have a look at the match today highlights. I know that Nunes had one from the off the underside of the bar. There's a few of you in the chat saying he's a bit unlucky.
When
I got him in this week... and more about my team later on, but I bought him in for the next 3, right? We've got Fulham, Sheffield United, Crystal Palace, and then I think there's a more difficult game. I bought him in for these 3. Now, he's not got anything in this first one. Let's wait and see what he does in the second 2. If we get to the end of the Palace game and it's just not the right thing, then he'll be gone, right? He'll be gone. And to be honest, even if he gets a blank against Sheffield United, because the way that my team's set up, it's going to be very, very difficult for me to get to Son this week without a hit. Whereas if I roll my transfer and go into next weekend, game week 16, hoping that Son doesn't do anything against West Ham at home, which is a bit of a hope, given the way he's playing, and Nunes blanks against Sheffield United, then yeah, I'll just reverse it when Cameron Archer comes back in and I'll use the money to upgrade to Son. That's probably what I'll do.
Yeah, although it's Newcastle for Spurs at the weekend.
Yes, but listen, away?
No, at home.
At home, yeah. I still think he's all right. Listen, Sonny is great against the top teams. He's shown it today, right? It's the in-behind stuff, right? It's the narrative. It's the same every single time.
I don't think...
Low block, difficult.
I think my point more was, I don't think you'd reverse it for the weekend, given that Nunes has got Crystal Palace. And probably Sun's not. Got Newcastle. I think you'd do it heading into 17 when Spurs have got Forest.
Probably, yeah, probably. But listen, I've got to think about, I've got to look at the highlights and watch what Liverpool did defensively. I'm not going to blame Kevin Kelleher, but, you know, it just shows you how much we miss someone like Alisson and his presence behind that back four. To concede three goals at home to Fulham is not really acceptable, particularly when you consider, I think, if you look at the combined XG of Liverpool's goals, they were all worldies, right?
Yeah, worldies.
They're all worldies. So I doubt if Liverpool racked up a high XG, they have to have a look at it. I think I've seen the McAllister. Have you seen Max's goal?
Yes, I saw that one. Ooh. That one's lovely.
Jesus, unbelievably good goal. Unbelievably good goal. Where else do we want to go, Sam? What else is there to discuss?
I think it's worth just a quick word on Areola and West Ham, because obviously you didn't watch this game. You went to watch Max play in the rain. I stayed at home with Evie, who didn't want to get wet. And I think, so I watched this game, and yet again, I find myself, and I know that we spoke about it a little bit at the beginning, and we talked about how it wasn't necessarily Areola's fault this week, but every week there's a reason why West Ham don't keep that clean sheet. Whether it's Areola's fault or a defensive mistake or a bit of brilliance from somebody, it's every single week. They've had one clean sheet so far this season, and that was against Sheffield United. And quite frankly, everyone keeps a clean sheet against Sheffield United. So yeah, it's not really a thing.
Tell me about the attacking options, though, because Kudos getting in the goals could have had more.
So Kudos,
Jarrod Bowen, who apparently is now free of the fluid on his knee, or what's the situation?
So Jarrod, okay, so let's start with Kudos. Kudos, yes, he did score again and it got ruled out. He played well today, I thought. I thought Bowen didn't. I didn't think it was Bowen's greatest hour. But I don't think it was Bowen's fault. Like, he was working hard, he looked fit and he looked fine. It didn't look like there was any problems with his knee.
Okay.
But positionally, it didn't really work for him today.
Where was he then? Not in the nine?
It was Kudos who was more sort of there. And that's why, I don't know. There was something about Bowen's game today. I watched him and thought, because when I saw him on the team sheet, I was like, I've made a horrible mistake. Because this is going to be a game that he should get some returns in if he's going to play up top in the nine. Because that's where he was on the lineups. And I was like, okay. Yeah. And then watching him, there was not a moment in the game really where I thought he looked threatening.
Okay.
Whereas with Kudos, he did. Regularly. He looked like the attacking threat in that team. Now, they've got to come to Spurs on Thursday evening. Romero will be back, so defensively we should be stronger.
You know you're going to score at least one goal, right?
Don't keep clean sheets, so Son's going to get at least one, surely. I don't know, with West Ham, I think if I was going to reinvest in West Ham, interestingly, it wouldn't be Bowen that I'd look at. I'd have a little look at Kudos, because I think he's the best option there. But I don't think he's in the top five midfielder options. And that's the issue with West Ham.
I don't think I was going to Spurs next.
I don't think you do it ahead of Spurs.
I'm not sure I'd want to go
West
Ham.
But I think, you know, when you're looking at them and you look at, you basically you're deciding who are the best five and the best three for forwards and midfielders. And I don't think any of their players fit in that category right now. Now, Bowen might come back into it as he gets more back into, you know, playing. But he didn't seem to have any reoccurrence today. He seemed okay.
Okay, good. All right, and then we need to talk about the team that are top of the league. Arsenal 2, Wolves 1. Probably made harder work of it than they needed to, Arsenal, in the end, with the goal from Wolves. And a well-taken goal it was, too, by Cunha. Although a bit of a mistake at the back from, was it Zinchenko? So I can't remember
who it
was.
Yeah, it was Zinchenko.
But listen, joint top across the whole game week for BPS, underlying BPS, was Martin Odegaard. Another captain's performance from him. Really,
really
good.
He was
really,
really good in this game.
He was excellent. You currently have just Saliba, is that right?
Correct.
I currently have Gabriel and I have Saka. So I'm pretty happy with those two. I don't think I'm looking to add to those. Let's just have a look at the Arsenal fixtures going forward. Looking pretty good. It's obviously the Luton game next, and it's away to Villa, which should be a pretty good game. Brighton at home, which looks a really good game. The Liverpool game in 18. West Ham at home, Fulham away. It looks pretty good. I've got no real intent of selling Saka. Are you planning to go there, or you are? This is the transfer we mentioned before with Diaby going up to Saka somehow.
Right? I must admit, every time I look at my team, the one thing I think is really lacking is Saka.
Yeah.
And it's not just an Arsenal player, it's Saka. Like, I look at it and I think, I should have him. And I, when I sold him all those weeks ago, I sold him with the money in the bank, if you remember, to upgrade Bowen back to him. Yeah. So the plan was never to be without Saka for this long. But the way that things have gone, with the way that Bowen was playing, with the way that Son has been playing, with the way that Anthony Gordon has been playing, with the way that Salah has been, there just hasn't been a route. Diaby the same. There hasn't been a route back to him.
Yeah. We've had pretty good performances from a lot of the alternatives, haven't we?
So we it's have. Like, you know. And I think over the last few weeks, I've got away with it.
Yeah.
In many ways. He's still not that highly owned, so that's helping.
He's been getting assists, hasn't he? He's been ticking assists.
Yeah. A bit like with Salah. Low XG. Yeah, a bit like with Salah at the beginning of the season when we all were kind of going, can we do without him? Because he was just getting 5 points here and 5 points there. This week's the first week where I've kind of gone, yeah, this has got to be my priority now, because actually I'm quite happy with everything else. I'm looking at my team thinking, this looks okay, but it is definitely missing Saka. And I've got a player with fixtures that I'm not loving who I'm not sure is completely 100% nailed anymore in the midfield five that can easily be Saka.
Yeah. I have to say, I like owning him. I mean, even he come out in the press about the fact that teams are starting to double up on him. Mm. And Wolves tried. I mean, even for the goal he scored, they tried, I think, trebling up on him, and he still scored.
Yeah.
He's that good. I noticed that in the, again, the Fantasy Football Scout members area, he is right up there for crosses. So he was fourth for crossing this weekend, and also fifth amongst all players for touches in the opponent's half. So, again, involved, you know, feeding the underlying BPS, which we love to
so
see.
So important for Arsenal as well, isn't he?
Like, gets the goal as well. Yeah, I just like him. I think he's, I mean, obviously he's a top, top player. He doesn't do, like, he rarely does anything wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like, I watch him and he just doesn't, he never puts, like, a pass wrong or makes a bad decision. He's, like, so,
he's intelligent.
He's so well trained, yeah, Saka. He's just a top, top, top player.
I also think that when Odegaard's in that team, it's much better for Saka as well. Like, having him there,
they bounce off each other, don't they?
It's really important. And obviously, Odegaard have been missing for a few weeks. And I do think that had a bit of an impact on Arsenal.
Do you think Gabby Jesus? I think Gabby Jesus is even bigger impact than Odegaard.
Gabby Jesus.
They did a bit on Match of the Day in the post after the match. And they were looking at, you know, they were sort of lamenting a little bit how, you know, Arsenal haven't got a 20-goal-a-season striker, and Gabby Jesus, you know, they won't win the league unless they get, and Gabby Jesus starts scoring more goals. And then I kind of looked at it, and they kind of changed their tact a little bit, because then they started talking about the fact that actually, okay, over the all the seasons he's been in the Premier League, he's never really got, I think the highest he's ever got, I think, was like 14 goals, I think, a few seasons ago.
Jesus.
But what he does for the rest of the team is unreal. And when Eddie comes in, Eddie's a totally different type of striker, right? And Nketiah is all about, I want to get that ball in the back of the net, right? And as an FPL asset, we kind of like it. But it totally changes the Arsenal dynamic.
Yeah.
And I think when Jesus plays, you know, we need to talk about Martinelli a little bit as well. But Saka, Odegaard, definitely better. Definitely better.
Yeah.
And even Martinelli was better at the weekend. Bit unlucky, one off the post. You couldn't legit sit there and say I'd invest in Martinelli right now.
I'd sell Martinelli.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And that's not about Martin. Well, it is about Martinelli, but it's not, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to Martinelli. I just think that a fair few weeks ago there was a definite conversation, and there was a question, do you go for Saka and invest that level of budget, or do you go for Martinelli and invest that level of budget? And it wasn't an easy choice. There wasn't a massive amount between them. Roll forward to now, and the gulf is huge.
Yeah, it's bigger.
And the gulf is huge because Martinelli has got the right underlying numbers, but isn't returning on it. Saka, every week, is so reliable. A bit like Son, a bit like Salah, a bit like Anthony Gordon when he's playing at home.
You say that. A bit like Watkins. He's not been racking up the XG, has he?
No, but he is doing it every week. So it's one of those form versus underlying stats things, isn't it? Like, Saka is in that moment. You can trust him. He's Mr. Reliable. You don't have that with Martinelli. And I think if you've invested in Martinelli over Saka, I'd be looking for a way to upgrade Martinelli to Saka. And if you've got them both, I'd be looking to send Martinelli to someone else, because I think there are four other better midfielders in the game than Martinelli right now.
All right. I'm going to ask you to do something that I never really do. Could you do the patron promotion, please?
Because
my voice is really going tonight.
Okay.
It's really going. And I'm going to have to cough over here off mic. Apologies, gone.
Okay, I'll do this. So we thank you to all of our patrons that are in the chat tonight. There's loads of you always here and always being really supportive. If you would like a little bit more Lee and Sam in your life, as Lee normally says, then we have three different levels of tiers that you can sign up to. So there's the Ohana tier, which gets you access to our Slack channel, as well as our Ohana podcast that we put out every Friday morning, talking through what we're going to do with our teams, our thoughts on the game week coming up. We'll obviously put out one ahead of the midweek round of fixtures as well, because, you know, we're nice like that. And then in the middle tier, there's the Manager of the Month tier. We run a regular Manager of the Month competition every single month. More on the winner of the November one in a moment. You can still get access to Ohana podcast and the Slack, but you also get to enter the competitions every month and you can win a replica shirt of your choice and we will send it to you if you win. And then at the top, there's the Zoom tier. You get all of that good stuff that I've just talked about for the Manager of the Month tier, but you also have access to Zoom conversations with either Lee or myself during the course of the season where we'll help you with your team. We usually use them around wildcard windows or free hit windows, something like that. And that will hopefully help you to make some good decisions.
I'll tell you what, Sam, you can do it every week because Abhinav, who's in the chat, has just joined us over on Patreon. So Abhinav, thank you.
Welcome.
Presumably that was on the back of your wonderful bit of sales marketing.
Was it a great sales pitch? Unbelievable.
I very rarely have that when I give it. So thank you, Abhinav, and look forward to seeing you over there. Never used Patreon before, he says. Don't worry. Don't worry. Very, very easy.
We'll get you
send us a little message, or I will send you a little message this evening or maybe tomorrow. And we'll get you over into the Slack. You can meet all the guys, the Duncans and the Steves and everybody else on the
side of the debts. With everybody else that's over in 35 or whatever he's taking.
Over in the Slack community.
Would you like me to do the Manager of the Month as well?
Would you, please? I'm still struggling with my voice.
It's all right. I'll go for it.
Go on.
Congratulations to our dear friend, Wilco. This is Wilco's second win. And I must say, I had a little chat with Wilco and he said, this one means a lot to him. Do you know why?
I think the last time he won, you actually won.
Yeah,
and he came second. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So last time it was a bizarre month where I somehow managed to win Manager of the Month, but we can't win. We take part just so that you can see us in it. And Matt came second to me that month. I think only by like a point or something. I don't think there was a lot in it. But this time he wins absolutely on his own.
He's in the chat. He says November was a good month. December, I'm already in the mud.
Wilco. I love that. Wilco's been a patron of ours for a long, long time. We've met him at Fest in the summer. So great to have you win it. Well done also to Coco and to David, who came in second and third. It was a really, really high scoring month for our patrons in November. So fingers crossed that everyone's not in the mud, like Wilco is. And we have a really high score in December as well, because there's a lot of game weeks in December.
December is a huge month.
Yeah.
A huge month. I think it's from game week, well, obviously 14, this one, to 20?
That sounds right.
To 20?
Yeah.
So something like 6 or 7 game weeks. Absolutely, it's a marathon one. This one, you're
this
right.
This was a sprint.
November was a bit more of a sprint, and a lot of this came down to Doku.
Doku and it was Mitchell that won it for Wilco, because he had Doku and Mitchell the week where we were all in the mud.
Yes.
Was that game week 11? Yeah, I think it was 11, when everyone had an absolute shocker.
The streets
shocker.
Will remember. Game week 11.
But Wilco and Coco, I think, from memory, absolutely smashed it that week.
Yeah.
And left everyone else in their wake. So well done, you guys. Matt, we sent him a home Liverpool shirt earlier on.
So now
he's having an away one. So lots of Liverpool shirts going out to Matt. So
perfect.
Well done, Matt.
Well done, Matt. Well done, Wilco. Excellent, excellent work, mate. 199 points. Very good indeed. Very good indeed. Right, Sam.
Would you like me to do my team then? Or have you enough
rest? I think we're going to build to your team. It's been that good a week. I'm going to talk about my team first, just so then I can stop if my voice goes. And you can
I can talk through
team.
Your team if need be.
69 points. So pretty happy with that. Very happy with that, actually. Yeah, very happy with that. I think it would have been a better week had Son not got his double-digit haul. Because I think
Certainly.
There's a lot of Son owners that got up into the 60s, whereas I think before that game, I was looking at about, I don't know, what was I on? Probably about low 50s, and everyone else was kind of like high 30s, 40s. And then I had Haaland captain to go, and I thought, this is going to be, this could be quite good as long as Son stays quiet, and he didn't, unfortunately. So that kind of boosted everybody back up to sort of 60s. So I think there's a lot of scores in the sort of 50s, 60s. But listen, 69 is good. That's an overall rank change of plus 34. So up to 84K. Again, flirting with the top 100k. I have been there before this season, but staying in that top 100k
it's
is
quite
tough.
Yeah.
It's difficult. It's really tough. So, 883 points. Who are the stars of the show? Well, it's our man Anthony Gordon again, isn't it? Anthony
legend.
Gordon, what a legend. That Newcastle game, bringing home 16 points for me in total with Lascelles in there as well. So very happy with that. Happy that I held on to Watkins. The Darwin punt hasn't worked out yet. Sheffield United next, let's see. Then it's Palace after that. So I've got to give him those three games that I said that I would give him. But
Darwin's for life, not just for 1 week.
Well, yes, but if I want Son, that's the sacrifice, isn't it? That's the sacrifice.
Yeah, but
because
you...
I'm not going to get rid of Gordon, Saka, Salah or Mbeumo. So Diaby's the one to go for Son. And to do that, I've already... My back line is already pretty threadbare. It's only really Pedro Porro that's got anything invested in him. And I don't want to sell him because Spurs are a team I want in on, if anything, given those fixtures.
Yeah.
And I think he's so attacking, taking the set pieces, Porro. He's a great pick for next week's Porro.
Yeah.
So if I do want Son, I'm going to have to take money out of that front line.
Could you go for Brennan Johnson instead?
I ain't taking any money out of Haaland, so...
Kulusevski?
No. Nice player.
Gio Lo Celso?
No. It's got to be Son, isn't it? It's got to be Son. It's
don't
not going to be in there.
Gio,
as
two.
So it's got to be either Watkins or Darwin. So my faith in Darwin over the next few weeks is going to be tested significantly, particularly if Son gets something against West Ham, which we know he will because West Ham don't keep clean sheets. So there will be a goal
under
there
the
for
lights.
Spurs somewhere. So it will happen. So there it is. But either way, 69 up to 84k is good. I'm happy with that. That's a good week. Thoughts for next week? Don't know yet.
Rolling by the sound of it.
Yeah, probably. I had a look at my bus team and it looked all right, actually.
Captain
so,
on Salah.
Yeah. Yeah, don't overthink that. I mean, if Sheffield United even play, even if they improve by 50% in terms of what they played against Burnley, they still won't have enough for us. I mean, I know we're away and yeah. They were dreadful. Sheffield United, dreadful. I know I'm setting myself up now for a 1-0 Sheffield United against Liverpool. But they were really dreadful. So, no, Salah captain for next week. Yeah, Salah captain for next week. But you, Sam, even better. 74. Total points up to 890. Overall rank of 54k, which I think is a season high.
No, 24k
no?
is a season high.
So, 54, still very good indeed. Overall rank change of 52%. What a game week. Very nice. Look at all their double-digit hauls. The 10s. The 11's coming in. Charlie Taylor coming in absolutely clutch.
What an absolute
with his 10-pointer.
Yeah.
Even Diaby chipping in with an assist and Tsimikas with an assist.
The front seven,
from
all of
everybody,
them.
Except Areola, but that's fine because we don't expect him.
And Saliba.
And Saliba. Yeah, Saliba.
Who actually I was disappointed with. He was the biggest disappointment I had. But having said that, and I said to you at the time when Wolves scored... I'm disappointed for Saliba, but also I'm a little bit relieved because there's a lot of double Arsenal defenders.
I almost went for
with
Raya,
or you know, with Tomiyasu and Saliba, or Gabriel and Saliba, or Gabriel and Zinchenko. However, there's a load of combinations that you can go. So actually, when it went, I was like, yes, a bit annoying, but actually,
74 is a good week though. That is very good.
Yeah, and wrong captain because I had Salah, not only slightly wrong, but nonetheless, it you know, it is what it is. But I must admit, this was another one, and I've had 2 weeks like this season, where I've gone into it feeling genuinely anxious. I didn't know what to do, and I was really stressing about the transfer that I was going to make, whether I was going Bowen or Diaby out. And in the end, I went with Bowen out, and it was the right thing to do, even though today I was really worried about it when I saw him in the starting 11. And I'm glad that I didn't panic on Watkins, because I very nearly did.
Mm.
And that would have really hurt, because I think if I had done that, I'd have been sitting here now looking at my team for next week with just one free transfer going, how am I going to get Watkins back in?
You were close. I have to say, the Darwin FOMO nearly got you, didn't it?
Yeah,
nearly.
And I'll tell you why, honestly, is because I had to sit through a pod recording on Thursday with Jules where he was like, I'm going to get Darwin. And...
then you knew I was getting
him.
And I
was like, okay, I really want him. And the more Jules spoke, the more I was like, I'm getting serious FOMO.
Yeah.
Then I got off the record with him, went to the gym with you, and you started talking to me about how you're getting Darwin. And I was like, I can't cope. I can't cope with you both having him, because if he goes off, I'm getting in the neck from both of you. And all I want is the absolute legend that is Duck, because you know I love him, in my team. And then the Watkins doubt on Thursday night, those comments from Emery, I was like, because I didn't think I'd have route to him. When I recorded with Jules and when I went out with you on Thursday, did not have a route to him because I couldn't go from Cameron Archer to him. The Emery comment is a bit of a rest. It's a rest and a... What did he say? It's a rest and a injury. It's 50... And I was like, what? How can it be a rest and an injury? It's either one or the other. And the doubt was enough to send me into meltdown. Honestly, it was. And now I'm glad I didn't panic, because panicking doesn't suit me very much. Yeah. So I'm glad I stuck it out.
I don't think I would have bought Darwin in at the expense of Watkins. I bought him in because I could.
Yeah.
Because I had enough money in the bank. I could get rid of cash for the sell, which I thought was a reasonable move anyway. And so that was the move I was always going to do, I think. Cash for the sell.
Yeah.
And I looked at my bank and I just thought, I wonder who I could get to if I took out Darwin. Archer. And it was exact money for Darwin. I was like, that's just fate. I've got to do it. But if I'd have not had the money, would I have transferred out Watkins to get Darwin? No, probably not. Probably not. So I think I would have held fire the same as you. But now, I've got other players that I want now, like Son, and I've got to make some sacrifices somewhere. But listen, 74 points, very, very good indeed. Overall rank 54K, both inside the top 100K.
High five to that.
High five, Sam, from FPL Family. I don't remember the last time that happened.
So just to finalise on this then, heading into the midweek round of fixtures, the plan is to go Matt Cash, probably to Lascelles, maybe to Livramento. I do quite fancy a cheeky punt on Livramento.
Don't mind it. Don't mind it.
Quite fancy Livramento.
He was great.
Yeah, I quite fancy it. The more I look at him, the more I think, I'd quite like you in my team.
Bale-esque. You heard it here first.
I mean, that's made me want him more.
Yeah.
And Diaby to Saka, that's my current plan. That will be for free.
Don't mind it.
And I think Anthony Gordon will be fine. So I think he'll be playing even if he's broken his leg, to be honest, because they've got no one else. and I am very, very torn on the captaincy. At the moment, in my bus team...
Don't be torn.
It's on Sun.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. I'm going.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah, you're going. So you always captain the player.
I'm going, and this time I feel like it's an opportunity where I can actually do it. He's in really good form against a team that always concede. And I get that Salah's got a really nice fixture, but you're not as good away as you are at home usually.
Sheffield United.
I know that.
Sheffield United.
I know that. But I am really tempted. And Son plays last. And I love captaining the player that plays last.
All right, Sam.
Don't know.
I would love you not to captain a Liverpool player.
I will let you know in the...
If anyone, by the way, if anyone's thinking of captaining Darwin against Sheffield United, don't do that. Don't do that. It's a risk. I'm not even convinced he starts against Sheffield United, to be honest with you. I don't...
Who could start instead?
He might put Gakpo there.
No, he won't.
Not going to put Jota there, but he might put Gakpo
there. Oh, can you imagine? Darwin's chaos. I actually think Darwin's a great captain for Sheffield United. They can't defend and he's chaos.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'd be like sending up, I don't know.
There's enough doubt for me there that I wouldn't captain him. But just if you've got Mo, just go.
It's like that Bomberman game.
Just put it on Mo. Boof, 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 boof. Just put it on Mo. Go on and tell the folks what is coming up, Sam, on this week for FPL Family. Loads of stuff.
It's such a busy week.
Chaos week.
Literally in about...
It's a Darwin Nunez week.
It is. It's Darwin week. In about an hour and a half, I'm recording the FPL pod.
Oh my god, you do it tonight, aren't you? I forgot about that.
Yeah, because we've got to do a game week. We've got to do a game week 15 preview. And...
What, 11 till 12 p.m.?
Yes, because we've got to do a game week.
Whose idea was that?
Well, Jules is in Manchester, ready for the Five Live Breakfast Show tomorrow. So we were supposed to be recording it tomorrow morning. He can't do it, so now we've moved it. We're recording it at like 11 o'clock or something tonight. So I've got it in a minute. Get off this. Go and sit with my laptop and pick a differential because I haven't done that yet.
Oh, I did.
I did some of my prep while Spurs were playing. Whilst also trying to cook a roast dinner and getting stressed about Spurs. It was chaos in my house today. That's tonight. Then we'll be doing another one on Thursday morning where we're looking ahead to game week 15. So two official FPL pods.
A sensible time?
8 till 9.
Bit more normal, sensible.
Normal
okay,
time.
Yeah.
So two official FPL pods coming up this week, which
one is
will
being
be
recorded
great.
In about an hour.
Yeah, then we'll also have a couple of Ohana podcasts this week as well. One ahead of game week 15 and one ahead of game week 16. We'll get one out on I'll probably have to get one out tomorrow, actually, because it's Tuesday evening, isn't it? So we'll record one for tomorrow. Yeah. We're also doing Sky on Saturday morning together. You, Lee Bonfield from FPL Family.
I've actually got a busy Friday.
Have got a very busy Friday. Yeah. So on Friday morning, you're dialing into the FPL show.
Yes.
And then on Friday afternoon, you're dialing into Fan Zone.
Busy.
So yeah, two FPL pods, two Ohana podcasts, Sky Sports News.
Loads going on.
FPL show, FPL Fan Zone. And then maybe we might actually get some FPL points as well.
And it all starts in an hour. And it all starts in an hour.
Yeah, we better go because I've got to pick a differential. Anyone got a differential?
The only thing left to say, Sam, is welcome to Jenny Basford. Hello, Jenny. Welcome to the channel. Jenny has just joined as a member of the FPL Family channel. So, Jenny, welcome. Very nice to have you along with us. Delia is in. I said Delia. Delia is in.
Hi, Delia.
She said, Sam, you can pick my differential pun. Luis Diaz.
He was my differential this week and he let me down.
Luis Diaz.
Even though it was top for shots. I know. He was my differential because Jules stole Morgan Gibbs-White.
Well, there we go. Lots to look forward to. Not just content from us, but FPL games, Premier League games. If it was half as good as what we saw this weekend, we are in for a treat. We're going to catch our breath. We're going to watch a bit of Match of the Day.
Well,
you're
going to
record a pod. And we'll see you next time, guys. Like and subscribe, all that sort of stuff. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.